James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, and I'm finally back. I spent a lot of time in the outback in Australia, about 3 months, basically, traveling all over Australia and Japan. And boy, it's just like I just got back from Detroit and the AAE conference there, which was amazing. And I spent a little time in Maui and did a talk there as well, so a lot of clearings there. But boy, I tell you, it's really nice to be in my own bed and in my own bathtub, you know, with the nice Epsom salt bath. I don't know how much I miss that. And it's good to be back at the ranch and in the beautiful energy here. There's a few announcements I need to make right off the bat and to let people know that the early bird special for the registration for the eSETI 2016 conference ends Monday, March 28th. So we've got a great lineup of speakers. So, and the conference is the July 4th weekend. So Wednesday, March 30th at 5:30 p.m., Ashley is starting a weekly teleconference healing series by donation. The first one is Healing Negative Influences in the Great Times of Great Change. And that's something that we just get overwhelmed with people requesting help and clearing, you know, with these energies coming in. And I can't stay on top of it. I have so much going on, so many things on my plate. And so Ashley's going to step up to the plate and do a weekly little mini seminar to help people, you know, clear and tap into their own higher selves. So she's a master at meditations and tapping people into these higher dimensional energies. So anyway, that's a great little opportunity coming up. And we're going to be open for Skywatch the weekend of May 12th. And so again, if you want to go to private invitation, eseti.com to register and check out any of these other events, you can get all the information there. And I'll be teaching at the Ambassador Training Memorial Day weekend on May 27th through the 29th. And it's filling up fast, but there's still some spaces left. But that's an amazing it's an amazing event when we do these events, because a lot of people have seen some of them that we filmed in the past, and there's always multiple ships powering up, doing all kinds of crazy things, and the energy's off the scale. We have all kinds of higher dimensional beings popping in, and people get to experience them during this process. And you also learn how to heal unseen negative influences and maintain your self-authority, which is a must in these times. You know, because there's an old saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're niti does not mean you're benevolent, despite what some people say out there, which is a whole other story. But we'll go into that some other time. But those are the main things. And also, too, my new book is out, Anunnaki Return, Star Nations in the Days to Come. And that's available on lulu.com or amazon.com if you want to check those out. But I'm really happy to finally get this out. We've got all of my books, Reunion with Source, Becoming Gods, The Ultimate Soul Journey, and now Anunnaki Return are all on Lulu, and I think they're going to be in Barnes & Noble too. I'm not sure, but you can go ahead and go to lulu.com and pick these up now, and they're ebooks as well, so you can get an ebook, which is great. So a lot of work has been done on there, and thanks to Peter Maxwell Slattery with the eSETI Australia .org group. Now, he did some amazing work on getting this out, and I'll talk more about that later, about that trip, but it was pretty amazing. There's a couple little headliners I wanted to talk about that it's been a bit crazy since I've been gone, and I've been keeping an eye on some of the things, but I just didn't have access to my computer or things for quite a while. But there's a major, it's like a canyon-shaped coronal hole right now that's opening up with solar wind towards the Earth, and they're expecting a major impact on the 27th and the 28th. So you know, hold on to your hats, because when these winds hit, it creates an increase in the fields around your bioelectric fields around your body. So, you know, people are going to experience emotional outbursts and every reactions everywhere to comatose, where you just can't even function. You just need to lay down. I would suggest lay down. You know, if you're feeling funky and wiped out, just lay down and ride this thing through, because, you know, people are going to be agitated, and there's going to be a lot of processing going on with these energies, you know, so there's some major things going on. One of the things I thought was interesting in the news is that the Trump protesters are getting paid $16 an hour And they're answering Craigslist ads. And, you know, there's a massive movement against Trump where they're just pulling out all the stops. And the people pulling out all the stops are the ones that are afraid of getting caught in a lot of the things that they've been doing in the past, which he's been pointing out and telling some of them that they're going to be going to jail most likely if he's president. So, you know, I'm not saying who I'm supporting in this round, but I think it's pretty interesting that a lot of the dark hearts in politics and a lot of the people with, let's say, less than credible actions that have been in there are shaking in their boots right now, and they're pulling out all the stops to make sure he doesn't get elected, including taking out ads in Craigslist and paying people $16 an hour to protest. There's got to be a law against that. I think there is, but somebody should follow the money. You know, that's the bottom line. Follow the money. Look who's throwing down the big money to stop all this, and you'll see, you know, who we need to remove from our sphere, you might say. You know, speaking of that, we've got another breaking news. They're saying Hillary's emails and a large majority of deleted emails were to her lesbian lovers. And so apparently she has quite a few lovers that she was doing all she could to hide and keep, you know, keep out of the picture and keep known. And so that's one of the main reasons that she deleted a lot of her emails and never turned them over, which is, I believe, a felony as well. So, you know, well, we'll see where that goes, you know, but exactly. It's funny how laws don't apply to these people. I mean, they kind of make their own laws and they just snicker when they break the law and people accuse them and they go, well, it's not going to stick. So do whatever you want. And they just keep going. I'm just amazed at that. But, to each his own, you know, but it's kind of interesting that, you know, it's, I mean, this might sound a little odd, but they're showing pictures of some of these women and they're very beautiful, you know, very beautiful women, you know, so, you know, some of them were like supermodels and some of them were like amazing, you know, it's just like, so, well, you know, whatever, to each his own, but, you know, you have a responsibility. If you're going to be in public office and you're going to use unsecured emails and put these things out, I mean, you're set up to be blackmailed very easy by this stuff. And that's one of the serious problems there. And who knows, you know, what kind of things have been paid off or whatever, you know, behind the scenes. So anyway, a lot of Secret Service people are now coming out with a lot of very damning, you know, information too as well that we're working with her in the past. So, you know, we'll see if she gets through this storm as well. I'm just never ceases to amaze me how people just go into that cognitive dissonance program and just, you know, all this stuff comes up and they just, it just flies right over their head. It's almost like they're in some kind of mind control or something, but, you know, we'll see. But you know, things are going to change majorly. There's some major things coming down and the people that are running now that think they might be coming into office are not going to be coming into office. And they may end up somewhere else. And I can't give a lot of information on that right now because it's too soon. But things are not going to be like you think they are. And this whole election is not going to go the way you think it is. So a lot of things have already been in place or put in place. And there's going to be massive changes both in our economic system and in our political system. Changes beyond your imagination that are coming. And so be prepared for that. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. There will be some people that will lose their jobs because they've totally betrayed a trust and they've done some very damning things to, you know, to America, to the Republic, you know, which is what is being reinstated. So this old USA corporation and all their minions are going to be, you know, going to be jumping ship like rats and because the ship's going down. It's already gone down. You know, a lot of them just don't know it yet. So a lot of these agencies and a lot of these people that have been, you know, used as the brute squad on the American people are going to be no longer in existence, are going to be totally reworked and refashioned. You know, don't run to your bank and take out all your money because there's going to be a treasury note that's issued and it's going to be backed by gold and they're just going to switch it out, you know, so you don't have to worry about, you know, losing your money or money coming, you know, becoming of little value. It is of no value, really. The Federal Reserve note is just basically toilet paper. But luckily, there are people that are going to straighten this out. And there are other people that are doing all they can. They want to see everything collapse and go into total disarray. And those people are being dealt with and, you know, pretty severely now. there wasn't agreement for amnesty if these people were to step up to the plate and say, hey, okay, you know, we've screwed up. Yeah, we're sorry. We're going to get on the right side of the tracks now and do what's right. And what happened was most of them blew that because they turned around and tried to assassinate a bunch of the people involved in bringing about these changes for the betterment of humanity, which didn't work. And now, you know, where it goes from here, we will see, put it that way. But there is going to be some heavy-handed things come down, and by their own making. You know, they deserve whatever comes down. So that's coming shortly. It's going to get really interesting. When I came home today, well, actually, it was last night. I went out into the field with Winston Stroud. A lot of people know who Winston Stroud is, but I was out there with Winston and Jeff and Brittany, and we pulled a few chairs out. And I said, you know, I'll bet there's going to be a little kind of welcome home party. That's what Winston was saying. You know, they're going to give you a welcome home party. And I said, yeah, that'd be nice, you know. And boy, we saw 41 ships in about a little over 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes at the very most, because we stayed out a little longer. But the ships just kept coming one after another after another. There was massive power-ups. It was just unbelievable. I kept going, are you counting these, you know? And I know we got up to over 40, and I just stopped counting, you know. But I know there's more after that. But we got kind of cold and finally decided to go in. But it was quite a welcome home party. So, you know, they're very, very active right now. The higher dimensional beings are stepping up the game. And there's a big event that happened not too long ago that a massive, massive object came through a black hole and popped out and is heading in our direction. And NASA knows about this, but they cannot figure out what the heck could actually pop out of a black hole. What would be that powerful to actually totally be able to navigate a black hole and come out the other side? And you know, with a huge gamma ray burst, I guess, when it came out the other side. So guess what, NASA? These are called 11th dimensional beings heading towards Earth. So this is a little bit of what we're talking about. So a lot of the beings that we've been hoping would step up the plate, you know, the archangels, otherwise known as Andromedans, and the masters, and it seems like everybody's stepping up to the plate now, and enough's enough, and there's going to be a big turnover here. And it's going to be good. It's going to be a good thing. We just need to get on the right side of the fence, you know, and start working in that direction. You know, don't participate in anything that goes against universal law. It's really that simple. You know the Constitution, you know about our rights, and we have the right to privacy, and we have the right to, you know, you know, all the basic rights. Just put it in, you know what the rights are. Just do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Do you want people snooping into all of your emails and all of your phone calls? And do you want people using psychotronics on you? Do you want people to, you know, inoculate you with Nogales, which totally disrupts your DNA and cuts you off from spirit and actually creates a system so you can't even fight cancer? I mean, they're putting this in shots and giving them to infants right now, trying to create little zombies. You know, those who are participating in these things, I think Jesus talked about that. He said, what you do to one of these, you know, the little children, bad news. You know, when you start harming children, you're toast. So those of you who are responsible for these inoculations and the garbage that's in them and what it's doing to the children right now, guess what? You know, you're going to have an experience here real soon. So this is all going to come back home to deal with. So, you know, all of this stuff, the GMOs, the inoculations, Monsanto, you know, all this stuff is all going to be coming up real soon, and it's coming to a head and it's going to be dealt with. So it's going to get really interesting in the days to come here. You know, the good news is that the people that are working, the white hats on the light side, are stepping up to the plate. Even the military are stepping up to the plate, and they're taking care of business, which they should. You know, that is their job, to protect the people and the Constitution, not the bureaucrats and the war and disease profiteers, which is what they have been doing. So I think they've had about enough, and they're had enough with the greed and watching their friends die and watching the seals being blown out of the sky and all the deception. I think they're just done with it now, and so they're finally going to step up to the plate. So anyway, it's it's going to get interesting. And sit back and watch the show, because it's going to be quite a show here in the days to come. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the trip that I was on. And I'll open up the lines later for people that want to call in. But I really wanted to talk about some of the events that happened on this trip. Now starting with Japan, with Greg Sullivan, and that's jseti.org if you want to check that out. We had some amazing talks and workshops there. They were full. People were just blown wide open. Amazing watching, you know, these people that were very suppressed, you know, energetically and emotionally, you know, by society, opening up, you know, and just laughing out loud and crying and just really getting in touch with their emotions. And, you know, at these workshops and connecting in these higher dimensional beings, it was just amazing. And everywhere I went, I was treated very graciously, and a little too gracious in some areas. I mean, people actually put pictures up, you know, like a little shrine and burning incense and doing things, which they missed the point. And, you know, my whole teachings are to empower you to make your own personal connection with spirit, you know. You know, I don't want to be your go-between. You know, I'm here to empower everybody to make their own connection, and also to make your own connection with the off-worlders and the ETs. It all comes with enlightenment. When you go within, connect with the spirit within, God within, whatever you want to call it, and start expanding in awareness, you're going to meet the higher dimensional beings and the ETs. It comes with enlightenment. Now, you can do a religious program and be stuck in that box, and you can do your yoga, and that's great, you know, to do your yoga and do your stretching and everything else. But, you know, one of the yogis asked me, what does ETs have to do with anything? And I said, well, have you read the Vedas, you know? And they're the foundation of what you teach. And I said, you need to do a little research. But all these techniques come from the stars, basically. Yigong, the things we teach here, they come from the stars. They originated, you know, came out of the Pleiades and came in through different colonies on the earth. And then from there, they went to Tibet and China, and they maintain the teachings, you know, but they all go back to the stars. Every religion goes back to the stars, which I found incredible evidence of that. Like all the religions, every religion that has a bearded god in there, we're talking Anunnaki. And the Anunnaki came from ancient Lyra. They originated in Lyra. Yeah, they had a place on Nibiru. They had a colony there, but that's not what's really going on. There are the ancient ones, the ancient Lyrians, which are the root race for the Pleiadians, the Orion Council of Light, and some of the other beings out there. So they're, you know, if you really want to get down to basics, you know, Adam and Eve's story actually began far, far away in a distant galaxy, and that there was another little jump that happened, which I'll talk about later. But you know, basically the Japan group was kind of a grueling event, because I was doing things from 8 a.m. till 12 p.m. And so it was rough, you know, getting through all that. And then, you know, the next thing I know it, I'm in Australia. So Peter Slattery and Sol Rita were just awesome, you know, awesome hosts. And we went all the way up and down the coast. We went to Uluru. Kata Juta was even better. It, you know, if you go to Uluru, don't miss Kata Juta. It's the feminine rock. And the energy there is even more intense. It's really powerful. And they have the Valley of the Wind there and things like that. And, you know, we could actually feel, you know, there's two things that happened there. One, we could feel the beings. And I actually saw a lot of the beings, the spirit beings around that, the rocks and things, the Junabi and some of these other people. And talked to some of the elders there, and they were shocked that I actually could see these beings and had experiences with them. And so they opened the doors and showed me quite a few things. It was amazing. But, you know, we also felt the deep sadness of the oppression that went on there and what's happened to the Aboriginal people, which is, you know, we talked about that in many of the shows, that something needs to be done there. There needs to be a mass gathering, you know, on both sides, and an apology. And they had a sorry day, but it was pretty sorry. You know, it didn't measure up. You know, there needs to be restitution, and a lot more things need to happen there. But, you know, feeling that energy wasn't good. I felt the grandmothers on the other side trying to connect with the people on the ground, who some of them were so distraught that they couldn't even connect with them anymore. So, you know, that was kind of sad seeing that. But, you know, it was, all in all, the other stuff was amazing. The wildlife there, you know, these massive lizards running around, the kangaroos, the parrots everywhere. You know, we'd see like 50, 60 cockatoos flying overhead, you know, just things like that. Just parrot, every kind of parrot everywhere. It was amazing. These little fuzzy little creatures running around that you know, they had the platypuses and all that stuff. One thing I learned too is that, you know, those really cute little duck-billed platypuses everybody would like to pick up and hug and everything? They have these little barbs on them, you know, and I think they're on their little front fins there. And they're extremely poisonous. I mean, they're like deadly. And a lot of the animals over there, you got to watch out, because a lot of snakes, a lot of spiders, and there's a lot of deadly animals. There's even a bird over there that has these barbs on his wings that can whack you. But, you know, you got to do a little heads up when you're over there and just pay attention. You know, it's not nothing you need to freak out about. Just pay attention to where you're walking. You know, in all my years, snakes I've seen run. They always run from you. If you give them a chance to see how big you are, they run. They get out of your way. And the only time you get bit is when you step on one or you're not paying attention, basically. And that's usually the people that get bit. So, you know, when you're in the outback, you just got to pay attention. You know, if you see these big brown rocks next to the river there, you know, don't go swimming. Those are probably alligators. You know, they blend in very well, you know, so pay attention to the banks. But anyway, back to Australia, or I should say Australia. They don't say us over there. They going back to Australia, it was just beyond words. I don't even know what to say. Meeting with the elders over there, Brendan Murray, Ulukai Brendan Murray, was just amazing. We shared a lot of information, and my research, you know, into the higher dimensional beings and the ancient history of the earth, and his ancient stories totally coincided. You know, we both added a little bit to each other when we did this mission. But one of the most amazing things that I saw there were the Gosford glyphs, and there's other places that are still going to remain unknown. Stephen and Evan Strong, that have, I think it's forgottenhistory.com, if you want to look it up. I'm pretty sure it's forgottenhistory.com is their website. Go it and check it out. It'll blow your mind. And I actually went to these places, and I saw the rocks, and I saw the hieroglyphs, and I saw the plating glyphs above the hieroglyphs, and I saw the stories that were told there. And guess what, folks? We did not originate in Africa. We originated in Australia. And everything points in that direction. So I'll tell you why. And these are three things that you just cannot deny. One, it's written in stone. And it talks about the origin of man, how the ships came down. They tinkered with the man that was already here. And some people call it the Neanderthal. Some people call it the Denaism. There's a different name for it, and I'm probably mispronouncing the other one. They have different ideas on which one that was. And they had their genetics and to the already existing man that was evolving here, and created a whole different race. You know, the Homo sapien race. So basically, the first Homo sapiens were, guess what? They were the Aboriginal people. So they're the first ones on the block. They're the oldest genome, you know, on the block. And everything originated with them. And so all the ancient wisdom is still there. It's with them. Now, the second level of the hieroglyphs talk about the Egyptians who came back to Australia to gain the knowledge that they forgot the knowledge, the ancient knowledge. And so these two brothers, two pharaohs, came to Australia. They tried to, unfortunately, take the knowledge back with them, which is in rocks and stones, and there's special stones that have special properties and abilities. They're like tools, and they channel energies and do things. These are very powerful stones. So they wanted to take this back with them, and one of the brothers got bit by a snake, a poisonous snake, and died, and he's buried right there, and I actually got to hold some of his bones, which was amazing. And the other one died out, his ship crashed and was wrecked, I guess, and he died out in the ocean, so nothing left, you know. And you don't mess with that stuff. You don't mess with the Aboriginal energies, trust me. You know, you need to do ceremony. If you're going to go to these sacred places, you need to have a guide. You need to ask permission. you can get really messed up if you don't, you know, and that is just the way it is. You know, a lot of people arrogantly go blasting through these places, and you have to go with consciousness and with intention and get permission, basically, even on an inner level. You have to do ceremony and cleanse yourself before you go into these places. They're very high energy places. So there's one place we went to in particular. You have to take a certain trail. You can't take the shortcut. You have to go a certain way. You have to stop at the mother tree. You have to do a blessing. You have to do a ceremony and state your intention there. And then when you find this special place, there's actually these guardians, which are these big old fat lizards that sit there. And if the lizards aren't there, you walk away. You don't go in, you know, if they're not there. And it's kind of interesting. They have rules and you go by the rules, you know. So luckily everything worked for us, and the guardians were there and the lizards were there. And it was amazing. These guys sat there, these lizards. I actually touched one of them. He just didn't even care. I go, wow, that's interesting. And I actually touched him, but I was just amazed at how they're just sitting there, you know, doing their job, whatever that was. But we actually took photographs and video of the glyphs, and we have the stories, and so it's undeniable. Now, so you've got it written in stone, and you have the Pleiadian story about the origin of man, which I believe the Pleiadians are telling a story of another event that happened a long, long time ago, well, 450,000 plus years ago, much longer than that, of the ancient Lyrians that came here and for gold and genetically uplinked the being that was here. And the Pleiadians were telling that story in their Pleiadian glyphs. So, and that's basically my take on it. You know, I'm subject to... Somebody has some more information on that, but that's the information we got from both the glyphs and from spirit and from a long history of doing research into this about the ancient origins of man. But so you've got the glyphs, you know, you've got the stories there, and you've got the Aboriginal genome, which is the oldest genome on the planet. And, you know, the Africans are basically newcomers compared to the dating of the Aboriginal gene. And then on top of that, you've got the gold, and the gold in Egypt came from Ballarat. And you can test gold. You can find its origin. You can find out where it was milled, where it was mined, you know, where it was what brought up and everything else. The gold has a signature. Well, the gold in Egypt came from Ballarat, which is in Australia. And there's very ancient mines there. So you've got the gold coming from Ballarat. You've got the hieroglyphs and the Pleiadian glyphs. And you've got the genome all pointing in the direction that the history books are wrong. And so all this is going to be coming out here real soon. And from my understanding, I do believe Ancient Aliens is probably going to pick up on this and do something about it. They did go out there. I know the elders were a little skeptical on how much they wanted to show them, and they're going to see what they do with what they did give them. But there's a lot more to the story. And if you go there, you know, with the wrong attitude, they'll just let you talk and they'll just agree with you and then say, have a nice day. But they won't show you anything unless they'll test your heart and see where your heart's at. So if you're not in the heart, you're not in service, you're not going to find out much with them. You know, that's just the way they are. But it's very important. But anyway, that being said, it was just an amazing trip. We went up and down the coast, and I spoke up and down the coast, and every place I went, it was packed. We had the biggest audiences ever, you know, in this field. So it was an amazing success. We had black helicopters everywhere I spoke. We had drones coming from the ocean. We were given a beach house to stay in. And the amazing thing about that was we're in this beach house and these two ships come up. And I go, why are these ships parked out there? It's rocky, it's rough, and there's two harbors on both sides. Why are they parking out there? And then this drone comes in and starts flying all around the place. And then these ships come in really close late at night.
Alert. And then no backups for 117 days.
My computer's doing its little thing. We're going to close that out. But anyway, so these ships come in really close, you know, and it's kind of dangerous there. There's a lot of reefs and rocks and things. And so they come in really close, and we start feeling all this funky energy directed at us, some kind of, you know, psychotronics or something. We all had just crazy nightmares and dreams and everything with this energy, you know, and then the ships back away and you see them further out, you know, in the morning, and they're flying their little drones around. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we're seeing, you know, happen there. On the trip and everywhere we went, you know, and we had disruptors too that came in, but they were dealt with, you know, very quickly. Basically, the stuff they tried to bring to the plate was so ridiculous. Everybody said, "What?" You know, like, get out of here. You know, so they didn't go anywhere. But overwhelmingly, it was a success. Everywhere we went, the places were filled, and you know, got standing ovations. And so we did a joint presentations with Peter and Solrita and myself, and everybody loved it. So anyway, kudos to that. And Peter did some amazing work on helping me get the books out and get them on eBooks and everything else. And he also did a documentary. So if you want to go to esetiaustralia.org, you can check on the doco there if you want to see it. But it has the petroglyphs and the hieroglyphs, and it has a lot of the story, and it talks about the trip, and it shows the ships. Oh, by the way, too, the ships appeared everywhere we went. Every skywatch we did, we had ships there, and we got them on film. And so some beautiful ships. And we also had them shooting flares, massive flares off by us, you know, trying to fake us out and get us to think these are ships. But you know, when you look at these with the night vision, you can see the smoke trail and everything else, and it's undeniable that these are flares. So, yeah, that was a good one. You know, nice try, didn't work. You know, so they must think we're idiots or something. I don't know. To pull a stunt like that was just beyond ridiculous. We're going, come on, that's a flare. You know, it's like it was obvious. But anyway, after that, I landed in Maui, and there's some amazing things happening in Maui. A couple years ago, I was given information that there was going to be a very large piece of property, about 500 acres, that was going to go, and it was going to be a place like a Stargate, basically, and it was going to be a really high-energy place where it was going to be a contact place where there could be an exchange, you know, of the higher dimensional beings and the ETs and things like that. And so it was really funny. One of the persons that this information came through for, I ran into her again, and she's going, "Remember when you said that?" And I go, "Yeah." And I said, "I've been looking for that piece, you know, that 500 acres. And she goes, "Well, we got it, you know." So anyway, that's going to be amazing. So there's going to be another major place, you know, on Maui coming up, you know. So I don't want to talk too much about that. I'm going to let the people that are involved talk about it. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag just yet, but it's definitely underway, and it's going to be amazing. And it's mostly women. I think it's almost all women that are involved in this thing. So it'll be interesting when this comes together. So that was amazing. And you know, I did a talk at the Temple of Peace, which was great. You know, a lot of people showed up for that, and had some weird stuff. Had some people come in late, and some other energies came in. My computer just shut down. I've never had that happen before, and it just completely shut down. I had a Mac professional guy there. He could not get things to boot up again or work. We couldn't get things up on the screen. I've never seen such chaos. He goes, "This makes no sense at all. What's going on here with your computer?" So it was quite interesting, but we still got through the presentation. We did get it back up again, but it was quite interesting. There was some pretty weird stuff going on at that presentation, and it happens. You know, it happens a lot. But luckily, I always have the right people standing on board, you know, that know how to deal with these things and end up putting things back together for me, which is great. I know Peter helped me a lot on that. But anyway, so we got that done, and it was amazing. I wanted to talk about, you know, the turtle, I think it's called Hano, is kind of like it's a vehicle that the gods like to express through or manifest in, and according to the legends, you know, in Hawaii, and so the weirdest thing happened. I go to this one beach down there. It's called Baby Beach, and it's this beautiful little cove, and there's a reef out there, and so you can swim and snorkel and get a really good workout. There's a little bit of a current there you can swim against, and it's a great place to go, and you know, you don't have to worry about getting smacked around by waves or eaten by big fish or anything like that. So it's a beautiful little place. And so I go there, and what's interesting is that I'm out there sitting there, and I first get there, and I'm talking to Nahi, and Nahi's a kahuna that's crossed over, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, a very good friend. She's been out to the ranch, and we did a lot of work when I was in Hawaii before together, and I was talking to her on the other side, meditating, kind of standing in the water and just giving thanks and saying thank you for this beautiful scene, you know, and the water, and I was thanking the ocean and say any healing, you know, you want to send me, I'll be totally receptive to it. And, you know, I was just cleansing my fields with the ocean water and the sun. And sure enough, this big turtle just pops up right next to me and just sits there staring at me, you know, big old head. And then a second turtle pops up, you know, and I've got a turtle on each side of me, and they're just sitting there looking at me. And I go, this isn't normal. You know, this is pretty bizarre, you know, pretty weird. And so anyway, so they kind of go under and go on their way. And I had this transmission that happened where I felt like I was like a teenager in love. That's the only way I can say it. And I had so much love coming through me. Some transmission happened. You know, I'm still not exactly sure what happened, but they use animals to transmit energy and things. And I just felt like a teenager in love. And there's a friend of mine I was with, and I said, you know what? I said, don't take this personal, but I am so in love right now. and I said, it doesn't have anything to do with you. So if I'm acting a little weird, it's because of some weird transmission that happened or event. So anyway, I went there three more times, and I was 4 for 4 with the turtles, which is unheard of. You know, they came up all 4 times, which was amazing, which ties into hanging out with Brendan Murray, and he's the king of he's Ulukai Brendan Murray, and he's the king of the Raven tribe. And so when we went to him and we did this work, we had a beautiful, you know, the ravens came, we had 2 eagles coming, we had a beautiful ship coming in nice and low and fly behind the trees for us while we're sitting having these conversations. And so the next day we went out to Westall, where the ships landed there at a school. They landed, they flew around the school. All the kids ran out and chased the ships. This teacher saw them too. Very well documented. They actually built a park there, you know, in reference to in memory of the event. And it has all the whole story, and it's all written there. They have a UFO they built on the playground for the kids. And they have all these little alien seats and everything. It's like, you know, it's amazing, you know, unlike America, you know, where they cover everything up, they actually built a park and in memory of what happened there, which was amazing, with all the information and all the news articles and everything, where they're all looked like they were resined, you know, on these boards, you know, so anybody could read them. But it was pretty amazing. Well, all the trees there are bent inward towards the center, which shows some kind of anomaly that happened. And the same thing happened in some of the other stories about, you know, contactees where ships came down. The trees all act bizarre. You know, they all bend inward. They grow differently, everything. So anyway, so we're sitting there, and these ravens start coming. And they just keep coming, and they keep coming. Hundreds and hundreds of ravens. And they keep coming, and they circle, and they land in all the trees. There's no more room to land in the trees. And they're circling overhead, and it was just wall-to-wall ravens. And we were just going, oh, my God. And we filmed the whole thing. And talk about an initiation, you know, with the ravens. But it was just amazing. And so after this event, you know, we filmed it all, and we went back to Brendan, you know. And he said, he goes, yeah, that you were initiated. You know, he goes, that was your initiation into the Raven tribe. And so we couldn't deny it. I mean, it was, you know, we asked other people that were locals there, have you ever seen this? And they said, never. We've never seen anything like this. So there were just so many ravens there. It was just unbelievable. And luckily we got that on film. But there's these things happening right now. And it's not just with me. It's with a lot of people where the animals are actually, and I think some of them are animals. Some of them could be shapeshifters. I don't know. There's all kinds of things going on with animals. And animals are losing their fear and they're coming close to people. And especially if you're on the right path and you're harmless and you're focusing on the love and the joy and the bliss, the animals feel it. And we went to a hot springs there, and they gave us this little white robe. It was kind of funny to take with you when you sit in the springs and you go from spring to spring. And I thought that was interesting that I'm sitting there in this little robe and these birds are all, you know, jumping around on the ground. And I just pointed my finger at my shoulder. You know, I tapped my shoulder to the birds, and they flew up and landed on my shoulder, and the people I was with videotaped it, and they couldn't believe it. It was just hilarious. It was funny. I was laughing so hard, you know, and I kept doing it. I put my finger on my shoulder and they'd jump up and land on my shoulder. You know, it's just like talking to the birds, like they're your pet or something. But that was another funny event that happened there. But just little things like that just kept happening over and over to show you're on the right path. You know, you're on the right track. And just when I arrived there at the house, you know, in the middle of Melbourne, you know, the headquarters there for East City Australia, you know, we go out on the back deck and I lost track of how many ships came in. And they're daytime ships. They're flying in the daytime. And Peter's getting some great footage, you know. So if you go to eastcityaustralia.org, you can see that footage. But he got a lot of really good footage. And, you know, if you can have a little, throw a little support their way, that'd be great too, because they're kind of, you know, trying to make ends meet and it's not easy, you know, doing, you know, running that whole system there and trying to hold things down. But they're doing a great job. But anyway, overall, it was just an amazing event. And then after Maui, I went to Detroit, which was interesting, and Detroit, Michigan. And, you know, they are doing a lot of restoration there, and they are doing some really good work there. And the people are over there are pretty, you know, they're doing the best they can, but it's sad when you go through there and you see all of these buildings and all of these apartments just boarded up, and they just look like, you know, a nuclear bomb went off, like somebody lit off a bomb, killed all the people there, but the buildings are still there and they're all dilapidated and rusty. But a lot of the areas there, when I walk through there, I go, you know, and people got upset with me because I said this at the workshop. I said, you know what? I said, I'll be honest with you. I said, Detroit is the prime example of capitalism gone wrong. You know, when you allow greed and profit and politicians and other people to take over, you know, I said, this is what you get. And if you're not coming from unity consciousness and you don't have people that are in service to humanity, you know, that are in positions of power and wealth, this is the byproduct. You know, this is a prime example of capitalism gone wrong, you know. So I'm not against capitalism, but capitalism without consciousness is insane. You know, when you get, you know, pure greed and profit, you know, making the decisions, this is what you get, you know, and it's sad. But, you know, I said, you know, all I'm saying is that you can throw all the money you want and try to restore this place. If you don't change the consciousness, you're going to be right back where you started. You know, you're just going to throw a lot of money down a rat hole and you're going to be right back where you started. So there's just too many people on the streets. There's too many people without work. There's too many people, you know, that aren't doing too well, that those need to be taken care of first and then rebuild your massive hotels and your other stuff, you know, because, you know, what good is it? I mean, you go to the hotel and you walk out of the hotel and you just get totally, you know, inundated with people demanding, you know, give me a dollar, give me $5. I need to eat. I haven't eaten. They all have a story and it's a long story. And, you know, I walked down the street there and gave away all my dollars and said, okay, I think this isn't, I got to do something else here. You know, obviously this isn't going to work, but, you know, it just didn't feel right. You know, it didn't feel good. But, anyway, I mean, I was glad I could help some people out, but, you know, there needs to be something different going on there. But anyway, you know, like Ethan with A&E did a great job, you know, putting on the conference. And it was a great conference and a lot of really good speakers there and met a lot of really neat people there, some wonderful people and a lot of connections, you know. And some of the people I met there were for real. You know, they were seriously doing the work and doing, you know, in service to humanity. It wasn't usually the strutting around stage, you know, at some of the other conferences where people are going, see me, dig me, and telling their story and whatever, you know, and creating an external thing, you know, when it should be an internal thing, you know, and you see that way too much. But there were some people there that were definitely heart-centered and doing the work. I spent a lot of time with Laura Eisenhower. Everybody knows Laura. She just did a bang-up job there and just nailed it, you know, and with her talks and things. So just, you know, I love her. She tells it like it is. And funny, we're on panels, and I start to answer this question, and we'd, you know, they'd pass the microphone down, and she would answer the question, and you know, they'd pass the microphone, and I go, she just said what I wanted to say, you know, so we're totally on the same page, and so I was going, oh, this is great, you know, I didn't have to talk here, I can just sit back, and whatever needs to be said gets said anyway, you know, it's awesome, so I kind of enjoyed that, but it's really nice being with people that are on the same page, you know, it's amazing, but anyway, the, It was an amazing event, and I know he's going to do another one in November. He's got another one scheduled in November, which I'm sure I'll probably be at. I'm hoping to be at, in case, you know, you never know with these changes going on. Hopefully everything's still operational, but it should be pretty smooth. These transitions should go through pretty smoothly. There will be some collateral damage probably and a few things happening here and there, but, you know, just don't fall for these false flag events, you know, these stupid bombings, you know, that are not even ISIS. You know, ISIS is the same as Al-Qaeda. You know, don't fall for those programs. They're false flag events. They're sponsored by the dark arts, you know, that are trying to remain in control, but it's not going to work. So anyway, just don't fall for those programs. You know, it's beyond ridiculous. It's just to throw everybody in fear and keep you controlled, you know, and create a dependency. You know, you need us to protect you because these bad people are out there, but we created the bad people, you know, that's how it works. So if we can create these bad people and do bad things, then you'll keep us, you know, in office and pay us all your money and we'll protect you, you know. So that's the game, and that's what's been going on, but that game is about ready to be shattered, you know. It's falling apart, you know. There's just so many things going on, but you know, we need to look behind the scenes, you know, and see what's really going on. If you look at the lives of some of these people running, I'm not going to mention names, if you really look at their personal lives, and if you talk to the people that, you know, the Secret Service agents that took care of them, that were there to protect them, the state police, and how they treated them, and just listen to this, you'll see the quality of the people that are trying to be your president, you know, or whatever. And I say, you really need to check into that. You know, watch how they treat their people. Watch how they treat people closest to them. And look how they behave behind the scenes. You know, what kind of moral fiber do they have? You know, what are these guys made of? You know, I saw a thing where, was it Bernie Sanders was on stage and somebody fainted and fell over. And he just walked right off the podium and went over and made sure the guy was okay and made sure that he got taken care of. Before he, you know, did his speech or did his talk. I mean, that is somebody that cares about people. That's somebody that really cares about people's well-being, you know. So, you know, again, I'm not trying to promote these people. I'm just saying, look at what's going on. You know, I'm saying, take a look, either good, bad, or ugly, you know. I watch how people act and I watch how they treat the people around them and I feel their energy. That's the main thing. Develop your own inner sensitivity. You know, these people that stand up there and I listen to them and I listen to where they're coming from and everything else. And some of these reporters, you know, that are just hitmen that are trying to take the good people down and where they're coming from. I mean, these guys are, you know, they just should be out of a job. Put it that way. They should not be in the positions they're in. They're not reporters. They're hitmen, you know, and they're there to just support the status quo and keep things going, you know, but, you know, it's sad watching this, it's watching this stuff and it's almost irritating, you know, which is why I don't watch it. You know, I try to stay away, but I can't help but things come across my plate, you know, just because in answering emails and getting back to people, things pop up and people say, check this out. So I check it out. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't vote. You know, and people go, well, that's un-American. I said, well, actually, it's not, you know, because when you're voting, you agree. You agree You're giving them your agreement that you believe in this system. And I don't believe in this system. I think there needs to be a whole different system. I think this system is broken. I think it's unfixable. And there needs to be a whole different system. And if you want to know a system that works, tap into these off-world beings and see how they function. You know, they choose their leadership, you know, due to their spiritual attunement or adeptness and their track record of service. That's who they put in office. That's who they allow to lead them. And basically, their leaders are not necessary leaders. The people lead. The people are in charge. But they're advisors. They're mainly just advisors. And they're very wise. And they're very caring. And they know what's best, you know, because they have a long history. And so people listen to the advisors and they take the right path. You know, the children, they take their children and they're spiritually evolved enough to figure out what a unique soul purpose means, you know, in each child and what their purpose is. And they take them up on the ships and blast them into unity consciousness, which is a light. The ships turn into light, and so do the people on the ships. And when they come back, they've had an NDE. Basically, they are one with the source and one with creation, and they see the creator in everyone and everything. And so now that they're totally tapped into unity consciousness, they support them in their own unique purpose to excel and do the best they can, you know, be the best they can in whatever their sole purpose is. And then they give back to the whole because they are in touch with the unity consciousness and they are in service mode. So their civilizations took a quantum leap, you know, in consciousness and evolution. And that's what we need to do. And we need to totally create a different structure. I think we could begin by getting a council of grandmothers together as an advisory panel, and people need to listen to these advisory panels. That will put an end to war right there. That'll put an end to the disease, war and disease cartels, you know, they're running things right now. That'll put an end, you know, that'll probably bring out the free energy and everything else, you know, if you do something like that. But I'm all for a panel of grandmothers. And we need some ancient ones, you know, that know the ancient ways, you know, not ancient as old. We need some ones that have our old souls and they know the old ways and they know about the Star Nation connections and things like that, you know, and because, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, if you choose idiots to govern you, you're going to have a society of idiots, basically. I mean, that's, you know, we deserve the government that we have. And if we don't wake up and wake up ourselves and tap into our own inner sensitivity and be able to sense who these people are and do stand up and do something about it, we're going to keep going on the same path. But I really feel that this path is pretty much over with. This system is so broken, it can't be fixed. It has to be totally reworked and redone. And that rework is in the books, and it's coming here very soon, you know. And I'm not talking years. I'm talking weeks and months. So there is going to be a major reset on many levels in many ways. And a lot of it has to do with our higher dimensional friends that are stepping up to the plate now and some massive ships that are on their way here. And so, you know, the dark hearts know about this. They know it's coming. And some of them, believe it or not, are still trying to hang in there and maintain control. But it's over. Their game is over. You know, it's done. So it's going to get interesting. And it's going to happen very fast. And, you know, it's coming to your neighborhood very soon. But, you know, anyway, I think it's just important that we you know, pay attention to the shifts going on and what's happening on the planet because, and be a part of that, you know, people are, I say, I want to have a contact, you know, I want to meet an alien, everything else. You want to meet an alien, go look in the mirror, you know, that's what all this was about, you know, seeing the hieroglyphs and the Pleiadian glyphs and everything else. You are aliens, you know, you have alien, you have the DNA of the gods. You know, it's just not activated. You can activate it through consciousness. And you know, you need to pay attention to the people that are trying to stop you from activating. They're trying to block out the sun, which is activating it. And they're trying to fill you with all the poisons and the toxins and the chemicals and all the other nonsense that they're doing. You know, these are the guys that are trying to stop the awakening healing of humanity and the earth, and we need to pay attention to that. But again, you know, this is going to come to a close here real soon. But anyway, that was good news when I found out about this, and I found out, you know, what's happening on a much bigger scale and how this is all going to come down. I can't give you details right now. I will. I probably will. It could be up to 2 weeks most, you know. After 2 months, it's going to be done. Everybody's going to see it, you know. So there's not – I can't talk about all of it, but I can tell you this is that the cures for almost all diseases are here. They're on the planet. They've landed, and they're in a certain place, and they're being set up now to be distributed. I can tell you that the energy is here, the feelless energy, the anti-gravity, the counter-gravity is here. And I can tell you that a whole different financial system is going to come forward, you know, that's more user-friendly, you know, and that's not going to perpetuate this gross and even dispersal of wealth that's happening. And so it's all good news. It's all coming down. It's going to be coming down very quickly. So anyway, the dark hearts that have been trying to stop this have played their hand, and they basically lost. They might try a few more stunts, but you know, people just aren't falling for it anymore. And the white hats are stepping up to the plate, and the military is stepping up to the plate. And so it's that's their job, you know, protect the people and the Constitution. And I think they're finally figuring that one out. So there are also some politicians that are stepping up and just calling this as it is, you know, and calling people out for what they're doing. So it's going to get interesting. And as I said, there's white hats everywhere, and they're all coming forward, and there's going to be some big changes, some big turnabouts. But that's about it for the show. I'm running out of time here, so I've got to sign off. I can't thank you enough for listening to the show. We didn't have time for call-ins. I needed to get this information out. But to let you know that, you know, it's happening, and it's happening quickly. So anyway, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.